And the evening, also Vrindavan, but Brahma Vimohan Leela, and pretty much the prayers of Brahma have been completed. So now we switched over to taking this hierarchy from Vaikuntha Dham, Ayodhya Dham, Dwarka Dham, Vrindavan Dham. And part of what there's met several inspirations, but one of the inspirations is our acharyas are very expert at helping the reader of their commentary appreciate the super excellent feature of Vrindavan, the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, the love that Krishna has for the residents of Vrindavan, the super excellent position of Braja Prema. And that kind of leads to this topic. That is, what about the spiritual realms that are not in Vrindavan? They're also perfect. And then there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect, and that rolls off the tongue very easily. What does that mean? And so we started yesterday, day before yesterday, discussing, just reading basic, not so much discussion, the Kumara's visit to Vaikuntha, Canto 3, Chapter 15. They didn't make it inside, they made it to the seventh gate. And then from there we went to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Gopal Kumar makes his journey number two beyond the coverings of the universe into the spiritual sky, past Shivaloka, into the Vaikuntha realm. He's at the gate, outer gate of Vaikuntha, and he sees what he sees, and the associates, because they have to get permission, and they get permission, they start to take him through the various gates, and then he comes before the Supreme Lord Narayan, and he loses it. Oh, Gopal! He starts running to embrace him. And we're going to hear something very interesting that conforms with what Scripture says. Actually, it's within the sections that we read about Indra's prayers. The Lord Krishna is the source of everything, and everything includes all the avatars, or all the various manifestations of the form of the Supreme Lord. And devotees take on forms that pleases them to please the Supreme Lord. This is even in Vaikuntha. And the Supreme Lord assumes various forms to reciprocate the love of the devotees, their regard for him. He appears according to their mood of love. He's not obliged to do that. It's just his loving nature. He presents forms according to the love of the residents, the love of his devotees. So there's a certain kind of love in Vaikuntha. And even within the realm of Vaikuntha, there are different moods. So the devotees assume different forms, and the Lord assumes different forms, although he has his original, you can say, original form, forearm form, etc. But when Gopal Kumar sees Narayan and says, "Oh, Krishna, oh, Gopal," that's who he sees. So let's continue from there. So this is the last verse that we read. This is now part two, chapter four, entitled Vaikuntha, the Spiritual Kingdom. And we read text 98, so I'll read it again. And mainly it's just reading the verses, a little bit of touching commentary. Sanatan Goswami. After some time, by the Lord's kindness, I obtained the intimate personal service of fanning him with a chamara. And I constantly felt the bliss of seeing the Lord as I played for him on my flute. By habit of my past practice, I would sometimes loudly repeat in various ways, "Oh, Krishna, Gopal!" And the commentary says, the seed of discontent with living in Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety, was beginning to take root in his heart. I always sang openly in excellent prayers of his activities in Gokula, which reveal his greatest glories. The residents of that place, laughing with hearts melted by affection, often came to me when I was outside the Lord's presence and spoke to me in no uncertain terms like teachers instructing a student. The residents of Sri Vaikuntha said, "You should not address the Lord of Lords like this, and don't sing his praises that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited, most amazing glories." Vaikuntha style. To annihilate the wicked and protect the uncivilized, and to cheat Kamsa, the Lord disguised himself as a cowherd boy by his illusory energy. Commentary. As far as these Vaikunthavasis are concerned, the Lord only pretends to be a cowherd boy in order to deceive the evil Kamsa of Mathura. Krishna had to cheat Kamsa to get rid of wicked demons like Putana and so forth. So they have their way of looking at Krishna's Vrajalila. Carrying on. Devotees of the Lord have very little regard for tales of his illusory affairs. Such narrations may be suitable in the beginning of devotional practice, but they do not factually glorify the Lord. But some of those residents of Vaikuntha said, among the Lord's inconceivable activities, those playful pastimes are also his. So there is no fault in chanting about them. There's differences of opinion in Vaikuntha. Then a few extremely exalted devotees stopped the others and angrily said, "Really? Why are you talking like this? As if you had no intelligence. Krishna is so kind to his devotees that sankirtan of any of his activities is glorious and beneficial and satisfying to our divine master." Then within the commentary, there's this nice reference to Padma Purana that translates Krishna speaking, "Although I annihilate all the Danavas within a few minutes, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Although I can annihilate all the Danavas within a few minutes, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by, respectively, watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees. Oh, lotus-born Brahma, Though Krishna's pastimes are for his devotees' pleasure. Gopal Kumar said, at first, the words of the Vaikuntha Vasis, the first group, had me feel embarrassed. Then I felt satisfied. Although, in truth, the inner core of my heart was not fully appeased. This is this discontent moving him forward to the next position. I felt somewhat discouraged that I couldn't see the unique form, pastimes, and other features of the lotus feet of my worshipful Lord, Gopal. But then I would see Lord Vaikunthanath, the most exalted knower of everything, as the darling son of Nanda Maharaj. See Lakshmi and Dara as Radhika and Chandravali, and see the Lord's personal attendants as the young boys of Braja. Commentary reads, not that Gopal Kumar produced this transformation by his own mental power, rather, it was done by Lord Narayana, who is Sarvagya Shiromani. He knows everything. And the Supreme Master, Prabhu. Since Lord Narayan is the greatest of all omniscient mystics, he knew that Gopal Kumar's mind was disturbed, and since the Lord has all divine energies at hand, he easily made this arrangement to relieve Gopal Kumar's anxiety. So, to Gopal Kumar, that's the form that he saw by the Lord's arrangement. Yet, my mind would still feel sad because I couldn't see the Lord and his companions play as they do here in the land of Braja. Occasionally, in the gardens of Vaikuntha, I would see my Lord appear in Braja, performing his pastimes, and I would see the gardens filled with herds of cows. At other times, I would see him sitting, as usual, on his throne in all splendor, but looking just like my Lord Gopal. Even so, because I knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because I remembered that I had come to Vaikuntha Loka, feelings of respect and reverence would arise in me, and these would block my pure love and leave my mind dissatisfied. The special favors I had received from Gopal Dev in my meditation, his embraces, his kisses, the mercy I had directly obtained, oh, these I couldn't have here, though they are what I desired, so I felt afflicted. Sometimes the Lord would secretly go with a few of his intimate associates. Then everyone else who had been near him would lament, unable to see their master. When I would ask what the Lord was doing on these outings, everyone would keep the fact from me like privileged secrets. No one would disclose anything clearly. Then, at the very moment I inquired, the Lord of the universe would appear before us, putting our distress to an end and expanding our joy to an ocean. Whenever my mind, where the mind goes is really important. Whenever my mind, by its own nature, would become disturbed, the vast splendors of the Vaikuntha world would dispel my agitation as the sun dispels darkness. Whenever it seemed, so there's this tension between majesty and intimacy. And majesty is, it was powerful. Whenever it seemed that I had not achieved the object of my desire, and when my heart would therefore suffer, as it often had before, I would remember the root cause of my incompleteness. And that understanding itself would drive away the pain. So what's that root cause of incompleteness? And it says here, of course, Ishopanishad says one thing. It's the material kind of incompleteness. And the spiritual kind of incompleteness is he had this strong desire to reach a very special place even beyond Vaikuntha. So he was conscious, he was remembering, he's attracted to Krishna. And Narayana knows that. He's the Supreme Lord, he's omniscient. Have not the slightest doubt, I would tell my mind. There is no attainment more desirable than living here in Vaikuntha, so why even raise the question? Oh, fickle heart. Now, use your intelligence, therefore, to cast this lower nature far away. It doesn't belong here. There's nothing greater than to reside in Vaikuntha. No greater goal. Consider the hundreds of arguments that support this truth and achieve the highest peace. After thus instructing my mind, I would look at myself in my Satchit Ananda form and see myself constantly relishing what seemed the highest happiness, intense and amazing, from worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha. Thus I resided in Vaikuntha, sometimes joyful and sometimes disturbed. Then, one day, Narada found me. It's a new section. Narada and Gopakumar. He found me in a secluded place. That crest jewel of merciful persons, the Lord's dearmost devotee, is an ocean of the tastes of the Lord's devotional service. He delighted me by blessing me and touching my head with his hand, same as he had done with Dhruva, which held its friend, the Veena. Then he spoke to me. The great master Narada said, my dear son of a cowherd, you have received the mercy of the divine Lord of Vaikuntha. Yet from the signs of the paleness of your face, you appear depressed, like someone suffering misfortune. Please tell me, what scope could there be for pain and sorrow here? I am most curious, because here I have never seen anyone in such a state. It's Vaikuntha, come on. Sri Gopakumar said, I was most fortunate to have met that greatest authority, Narada, the most reliable of well-wishers, who was equal to my guru. So I fully disclosed to him what was in my heart, which we already heard. After hearing my whole story, Narada sighed a little, glanced around, drew me near, and compassionately spoke to me in a soft voice, like a secret. Very confidential. Shh. Sri Narada said, by a chain of logical reasoning, you have concluded that nothing is higher to achieve than this abode, and you are certainly correct, that the truth cannot be other than this. Even so, you desire to see with your own eyes your worshipable Lord's pleasure pastimes that appear to you in meditation. You want to see those pastimes here in Vaikuntha and in full detail. Those pastimes give even the Lord himself the greatest pleasure. They enchant the heart, but only by a special kind of love can they be perceived. They are the most confidential mystery. One can approach them only with the highest degree of prema, like that of the residents of Braja. Surely those pastimes can never be seen by persons like me. He speaks like this again later in Dwarka, we'll hear. It is in a certain world, somewhere above all others, that those pastimes are to be seen, enchanting the Lord's devotees. But by your bhakti for the Lord of the creation, you have come to Vaikuntha. How can you see those pastimes here? How can this greatest secret be revealed here in Vaikuntha, where the extreme limit of the Lord's all-powerful opulence is displayed? Put aside all this lamentation and just see the divine master of Vaikuntha as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. Then, even here, your heart will be flooded with supreme happiness, unlimited and ever-increasing. Gopakumar said, I then wanted to hear Narada explain from his own mouth certain philosophical conclusions about which I was already thinking. My ears were forcing me to do this. Because of respect and shyness, I couldn't ask him about these matters, but that best of omniscient mystics, the greatest Vaishnava, knew what I was thinking. To give pleasure to my ears and to his own tongue, he briefly expounded on each of the topics I was contemplating. So there's many topics. We'll cover some and skip some. But he's going to go to the first topic about the forms of living entities in Vaikuntha. And then the forms of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Don't think that the flocks of animals and birds of this place, or the trees, creepers, bushes, grass, and other vegetation are made from earth, like ordinary creatures in the mode of ignorance. In fact, these are all personal associates of Sri Krishna, all with spiritual Satchit Ananda bodies. They have such forms to taste the ecstasy of serving the Lord in various ways. They have assumed forms with colors and shapes similar to those of the Lord. They have worshipped as most dear, having each attained sameness with a particular form of the Lord, they have gained the opulences of various kinds of bodies as sages, demigods, fish, tortoises, human beings, and mystic rishis. Some have become hogs, men, lions, or dwarfs. Some have three eyes, four arms, or thousands of eyes like the Mahapurusha. Some have assumed bodies with thousands of faces or the features of such deities as the sun, moon, and the gods of air and fire. Some have 4 arms or 8 or 12 or more, and various kinds of dress, ornaments, symbols, and other attributes. Now, the standard explanation that we're used to hearing is a little different than that. And the commentary of Sanatan Goswami makes reference to one of them. This is Brahma experiencing Vaikuntha. The inhabitants, this is Canto 2, Chapter 9. Quote, translation from that section. The inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets have a glowing sky bluish complexion. Their eyes resemble lotus flowers. Their dress is of yellowish color, and their bodily features are very attractive. They are just the age of growing youths. They all have 4 hands. They are nicely decorated with pearl necklaces with ornamental medallions, and they all appear effulgent. Some are like coral, diamonds, or white lotus fibers in complexion. On their heads and necks, they have garlands, and they wear shining earrings, unquote. Now, the section we just read and coming up also, that it's a different description by Narada that pointed out in the commentary, which says, some Vaikuntha devotees appear as human beings because of having attained sarupya. That was already offered to Gopakumar, who declined. Others appear as murtis by sarupya, with sage incarnations like Sri Kapila, or as demigods by sarupya, with Manvantar avatars like Lord Satyasena and Lord Vibhu. Others appear as rishis by sarupya with incarnations like Sri Parashuram, or as fish by sarupya with Lord Matsya, or tortoises with Lord Kurma. Some who worship Shiva or Brahma as representatives of the Supreme appear in bodies with 3 eyes or 4 heads. Some appear like Indra with 1,000 eyes, like Anantashesha with thousands of heads, or like Surya or other demigods. Vedic scriptures like the Indra Shrutis, the mantras glorifying Indra, support such worship of demigods as representatives of the Supreme Lord. In the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find demigods like Surya being worshipped as representatives of the Lord in Plakshadweep and other divisions of the Bhur Loka planetary system. So the puzzle is getting a little clearer, isn't it? Paragraph, the only means for achieving entrance into Vaikuntha is pure exclusive love for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Ordinary demigod worshippers are never eligible to become residents of Vaikuntha, but worshippers who regard Shiva and other demigods as not different from Lord Vishnu achieve special Vaishnava perfection, as the Vamana Purana and other scriptures describe. Those devotees join the exalted associates of the Supreme Lord they worship, either on the respective planets of the demigod representatives of the Lord, or, in some cases, on a Vaikuntha planet, where the devotees are endowed with special opulences of those demigods. It's high technology. Like me reading an operator's manual for some digital device, and it's like, ah. Vamsidhari, can you help me here? The Vaikunthavasis whose bodies are just like the transcendental body of the Mahapurusha, the first incarnation of Lord Vishnu for material creation, are those who have achieved Sarupya by worshipping him. They have thousands of arms, legs, heads, and other limbs. In this previous text, the word Adi is used, meaning so on, twice. The first time it indicates that some devotees in Vaikuntha assume bodies that resemble those of yet other demigods, like Yamaraj and Aryama, who are material representatives of various personal powers of the Supreme Lord. The second time, Adi indicates that besides the usual four arms, some Vaikuntha devotees have 8 arms, 12 arms, and more. Who knows what Vaikuntha's like, huh? And how can we verify or deny? We can't do either. We can say, yeah, I don't accept this authority, or we accept the authority. Because other transcendence you can't know except through authority. Shabda Pramana. I was told, it's Shabda Pramana. It's a material Shabda Pramana. You know, we all hear about coronavirus and who knows what's really going on, but one of the things that affects my life is, transportation. So the airlines have made different policies, and some of the airlines are they won't let people board the plane without accepting one of their gratuitous, face masks. And the purpose of that is to add confidence to travelers that they'll be protected. Then all the people on the plane are going to do this, and you're going to hand them wipes, and so, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to sterilize the seats, and so forth and so on, to encourage travelers, it's okay, it's safe, you can travel again. We need your patronage, please. So I don't know, but there's some Shabda Pramana from United Airlines and American Airlines, and that's a kind of Shabda Pramana. But transcendence, the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, where are you going to get that Shabda Pramana? Yeah, it has to be from a qualified source. And otherwise you won't know. You can say whatever, I don't believe it, or I believe it, or that's not it, it's something else, or whatever it is. You'll never know. Except faith in Shabda, Aparushaya Shabda Pramana. Text 146 and 45 and 46. Whoever comes to Vaikuntha realizes the very same service to the lotus feet of Krishna for which he had developed a taste by the end of his material life. And he realizes that service in full detail with suitable dress, form, and so on, since each mood of devotion is very dear to the personality of Godhead, and each gives pleasure to the devotee absorbed in it. So that's explaining the different forms as he was standing at the gate, a person's going in, and forms of the Lord in different features and so on. In Vaikuntha, each devotee sees the Supreme Lord Sri Narayan in the form of the particular Lord he worships, with suitable complexion and other qualities. The same kind of ecstasy these devotees previously enjoyed in worshipping the Lord, they continue to relish here in Vaikuntha. They obtain it as a unique, uninterrupted, unceasing bliss, newer and newer at every moment. This is Narada giving him a lesson about Vaikuntha. As before, these devotees still see their own worshipable Lord. With all his unique features, they found charming. His same entourage and everything else. These devotees, each in his favorite mood, constantly hope to serve him, the Lord. They are indeed the wisest of saints, for they have each attained the final perfection of their own faith. Thus they worship their favorite forms of the Lord in the places where he resides, his opulent cities and other abodes, and expand the ocean of happiness. Devotees not exclusively attracted to one form of the Lord, those whose affection is not focused on a singular appearance of his, are ready to serve him in any form. Got all bases covered. Some devotees dedicated themselves to the 8-syllable mantra, one of the Gayatri mantras, or some other mantra for the husband of Lakshmi. And when those devotees left their material bodies, they obtained the shelter of this Vaikuntha. All the devotees of Vaikuntha enjoy the particular happiness for which they aspired and feel it greater than all others. This creates a hierarchy of tastes, but within it, a simultaneous equality. So here there's discussion about rasa, saying there's some diversity of rasa, but it's all this overarching majesty. In the Lord's appearances on earth, he shows similar varieties and equality. He gives examples. The Lord's forms are the shelter and the treasure of the earth. Among them are Narayana and Dattatreya and Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, and Kapila. There are those who playfully assume the appearances of deities, and those such as Vishnu and Yageshwara, whom you have seen on Swargaloka, and other higher planets. There are such various incarnations as Matsyakurma, Mahavaraha, Shrimant Nrisimha, and Vamana. Each of these forms of the Lord has his own activities and names, yet all of them are full of in eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety, in substance, they are eternally one. There's a long purport explaining all of that, and it's kind of technical. Very technical. The differences between them should never be seen as illusory, any more than one should the plurality of the conditioned souls. That there's more than one individual soul. There's multiple jivas. That's not imaginary. And diversity of the forms of the Lord is not imaginary. Not material imposition upon Brahman. Rather, the differences between the Lord's forms are displays of the energies that underlie his spiritual pastimes. The differences are born of the various moods of his various worshipers. Therefore, this variety does not arise from the difference between an object and its reflected image, as with the sun reflected in water. Rather, the Lord's forms are like the one sun, standing individually in the sky, seen everywhere, but in different ways, in different places. Nice example. The Lord's various forms are one, just as knowledge and happiness, though separate entities, are one, because they are both aspects of the same absolute truth. And a long purport with lots of scriptural references. Thus, although Krishna, his associates, and his abode are seen in various forms, in different places, and in dreams, and other special states of consciousness, they are with perfect consistency one, although many, and they are always real. When any of his forms is satisfied, so too are all his other forms. That one Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Krishna, resides in various places, and appears in many forms just to give pleasure to all of his multitude of servants. Sri Brahma perceived this truth when he stole Krishna's boys and calves in the forest of Vrindavan. And I realized it when wandering among his many palaces in the city of Dwaraka. So he's going to go into a whole other section of topic, and that's, you know, the energy of the Lord, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and her different manifestations and potencies and some potencies. And so it's a whole tattva. How are we doing on time? After covering that section, he goes back to the forms of the Lord. The incarnations of Sri Krishna, the original personality Godhead, are likewise not different from him, their source. Just as he is eternal and real, so are they. Krishna alone is the source of all incarnations of Godhead. By his infinitely various excellences, distinct from those of everyone else, he is always supreme. Those excellences are known by the term Bhaga. And Sri Krishna is different from Narayana, for when Krishna appears in his descent in the material world, he fully manifests many unique glories that distinguish Krishna alone. Dash, charming, attractive glories that can be known only to hearts softened by prema bhakti. Still, the servants of the Lord's incarnations achieve the greatest happiness in the loving service they prefer, each according to his own mood. According to the way one worships, the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. But Gopa Kumar is feeling discontent because he hasn't achieved Goloka. The Lord's pastimes expand in unlimited variety. His mind is deeper than millions of oceans. The opulence of his diverse pastimes attracts his devotees to him in so many ways. Who can understand him? By speculation. Even amidst such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection. For despite the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy. or by any such bad feelings towards others, each devotee, following his own nature, attains the final limit of happiness in the service that suits his own taste. Because we're almost reaching an end here, so get ready for an abrupt. It's like GPS telling you you reached your destination. Because the Lord's pure devotees are absorbed in their true identity of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, they do not accept inferior happiness as great, nor do they get involved with the petty pleasures of materialists or of sannyasis with impersonalist views. The hierarchy among devotees is only imagined according to their forms of service and according to the happiness each devotee derives from his own relationship with the Lord. Some of these residents of Vaikuntha are eternal associates of Lord Krishna, and others have come here by his mercy, having gained the privilege to enter. Although everyone equally enjoys the bliss of worshiping the Lord, certain differences are conceived. Devotees are considered relative outsiders or insiders, depending, for example, on whether they serve the Lord from afar or from nearby. Though all these devotees are equal to the Supreme Lord in being eternal, there is still a natural distinction between the servant and the served. This distinction is eternal and real. These devotees are equal to the Lord in being embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, just like him. Yet, Sri Krishna has a certain inconceivable mystic potency that attracts these devotees to the sweet ecstasy of worshiping him and makes them always think that they are servants at his lotus feet. And so it is with his incarnations. They are also non-different from Sri Krishna Dev, for they are complete embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But although Sri Krishna is considered non-different from his plenary expansions, he is also distinct from them, and not only because he is their source, but also because he has his own sweet perfections. Some persons say that Lord Krishna is the exclusive embodiment of perfect eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He is, after all, the Supreme Brahman, but his associates are all liberated souls who are also embodiments of Brahman. This equality is created by a special potency of the Lord, a playful aspect of his pure spiritual self. As Krishna assumes various forms for his pastimes, she, that's this potency, special potency of the Lord, a playful aspect of his pure self, she creates varieties of ecstasy in devotional service. I want to read the commentary to this verse that says equal but different amongst the devotees. It's text 191, and then we're done with reading at least. Even amid such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection. For despite the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy or by any such bad feelings towards others. Each devotee, following his own nature, attains the final limit of happiness in the service that suits his own taste. Commentary. The Supreme Lord does not behave the same with each devotee, that the Supreme Lord does not behave the same with each devotee does not invalidate the glory of his boundless compassion. Rather, his discriminating dealings with his servants enhance his reputation because every devotee relishes the highest possible happiness. By the nature of devotional service, none of the Lord's servants ever become dissatisfied. In heaven and on earth, it's not like that. Devotees on the path of pure devotional service are protected from these inauspicious influences, including false pride and malice towards others. Vaishnavas are naturally friendly to one another. Free from envy, they can peacefully pursue their real self-interests. I mean, that sounds like Vaikuntha, doesn't it? So, where does Kuntha come from? Paramarupa was sharing with me. He's at Northeastern University. He has a chaplaincy for Hindu. He's the Hindu chaplain. He's chaplain for different faiths. So they're on his case. Look, it's coronavirus. The students are restless. Give them something that can help make them peaceful. They have exams coming. It's going to be stressful, and etc. So he started this little series, The Art of Meditation, the Root Cause of Anxiety, which is this, Kuntha. It's going to be a several part thing, but it's, he can't, read Brihadbhagavatamrita to these people. But he's decided to go with a disconnect between the mind and the senses and the soul and the mind.
There's expectations for happiness within the mind that aren't met on the platform of the senses. And there's a disconnect between what's the real happiness of the soul and what the mind expects as happiness. So, the picture that we're getting is Vaikuntha is a place of real happiness, and that real happiness is according to the soul's uncovered, completely pure, uncontaminated disposition of service to the Supreme Lord. And whatever that is, they accept forms, and whatever that is, the Lord reciprocates with that mood of service. And from their side, there's so many varieties, and from the Lord's side, there's so many varieties, because he's unlimited, and so there's so many varieties. And when there's varieties amongst the servants, there's no enmity or envy or competition or any of that, the unwanted stuff that happens in the Kuntha realm. And on that basis, Narada is reasoning, and Gopakumara is also reasoning with his intelligence to his mind. My dear mind, please stop this. Manashiksha, instructions to the mind. Please stop this. Everything's all right. And yet there's an unfulfilled hankering, and that is this unfulfilled hankering. This is this greed that Rupa Goswami speaks about in Nectar of Devotion. The eagerness that cannot be satisfied with anything else other than this connection with the personality of Godhead and
the language used over and over and over by our acharyas is natural. It's natural. But Narada here and later on in Dwaraka, Narada and Uddhava both considered themselves not qualified like Gopakumara is qualified because they can't even dream of aspiring for the relationship with Krishna and Vrindavan. They're Vaikunthavasi folks or Dwarakavasi folks, and that's their happiness. So with their happiness, they're not envious of the residents of Vrindavan. They're looking up to the residents of Vrindavan and wishing for their mercy. Brahma's looking for their mercy. Like Uddhava, let me be born a blade of grass. There's a section in chapter 47 when Uddhava goes to Vrindavan to deliver Krishna's message and he experiences what he experiences, starting with Nanda, Jasoda, and then the gopis. And the commentary, Vishwanath writes in his commentary, I ask the gopis again and again, please place your head, your feet on my head. I ask them again and again, and they refused. They were shy. They hid their feet. So the only thing I can think of is, let me undergo austerities so I can take birth as a blade of grass and they can walk on my head. Because if they give the dust from their feet, then I can get that same mood of love that they have that I'm not eligible for now until I get the mercy of the gopis to have the mood of love that they have. Because they have that mood of love, Krishna has such the same love for them because he's reciprocal, that I don't have that love. They do. The way to get that love is their mercy. So they refuse. They won't give me the dust from their feet. I mean, it sounds poetic and, you know, kind of a little odd and maybe cute or something, but the residents in Vrindavan are very special. So he's giving here in Vaikuntha, he's giving lessons about, in one sense, it's the same. And in the other sense, he understands the mood of Gopakumar is, it's the same, but it's not the same. He can see the form of the Lord, but all the pastimes and everybody in that same mood is a whole grand orchestration of that mood of love of Braja Prem. He's hankering for that experience. And that carries him. The Lord of Vaikuntha arranges for him to go to the next place. He goes to Ayodhya. Lord Ramachandra arranges for him to go to Dwarka. He knows. And he arranges. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we know the verse from Bhagavad Gita, but you know, the practical application of that verse in the higher realms, woo. Very advanced literature. I wouldn't want to read a scholarly review because they would probably just be offensive.
It's so elevated. How can they touch it? But they try. Okay, so let's see if there's some puzzled questions in discussion. Yeah, okay.
So like whenever we hear the glories of Goloka or Vaikuntha, either one, obviously, you know, for me personally, like the purpose of practicing Krishna consciousness is to end up with Krishna and be with Krishna. However, like when we hear those glories, I think like sometimes I'm thinking selfishly in the sense that I just want to be in an environment where there's no stress, there's no anxiety, eternal happiness. So how do we get rid of, you know, obviously the fact that wanting to be with Krishna, but how do we get rid of the, I would think, like selfish motivation that I just want to be stress-free, eternally happy, to the sense where, like, you don't even care if you're in Vaikuntha or not?
Well, two things. There's many things, but here's two things. I remember hearing one lecture, and then later I saw it transcribed as a BTG article. Prabhupada was saying that in the beginning it's good to want to be with Krishna. You know, in the more elevated stage, Krishna, you can do with me whatever you like. But it's in the beginning stage, it's good to want to be with Krishna. And to want to be with Krishna includes, you know, the contamination portion of what's here, no thank you. I want to be with Krishna, please. So saying no to Maya and saying yes to Krishna, that's the message. That's good. And then more elevated is Krishna, you can do with me whatever you like because I'm with you. You're with me. That's what's important. That is, you're my Lord and I'm your servant. And as your servant, you can have me serve you wherever, however. Now the however, wherever could be in a dark place. And then that doesn't satisfy, you know, this, I don't want the dark place conditions. Thank you. So how to get to from where we are to where we want to go is kind of the question. And it, you know, the application of the cleansing process, including wanting to get to where you want to go. And just having like negation of the misery or the unwanted part as part of the definition. But that, as one gets closer to the destination, then it becomes less significant. It fades in significance. It pales in significance. It just doesn't matter at all anymore. But no, that's not artificial. I mean, it can be artificial, but it, when it's genuine, it's not, it just fades. You know, the classic is Dhruva. He had a big time material desire when he was on the other side of being with the Supreme Lord. That desire was gone. Zip. Wasn't like, you know, it was gone. It wasn't like his intelligence was thinking, okay, like he's doing here with his intelligence. My dear mind, please. But, you know, it's gone. And then that's the state that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshastaka speaks. We were not there. We can understand that's like when we get there, that's what it's going to look like, but we're not there. So it's okay. Want to be with Krishna. Not just I want out of here, that's salvationism, but being, I want to be with Krishna. And how do you be with Krishna? You have to serve him. That's the medium of a relationship of service. So that's how you move from it's all about me to it's all about Krishna, that the medium, the method is bhakti, service. Just a detail, Radhika Raman made the comment in one of his classes that scholars that translate bhakti commonly just call it devotion.
And Prabhupada added another, like a new term. It was devotional service. Because devotion by the scholars is taken as like mushy. You know, sentimentalism. Bhakti, sentimentalism. But you know, don't call it so negative, just call it devotion. But sentimentalism, it's got a connotation to them. But it's devotional service. The medium is really devotional service. That is, the object of love is to be served. And Krishna is the object of love. And that's how to get away from the selfishness. It's all about me consciousness to it's all about Krishna consciousness. The medium is devotional service. And then devotional service, you unpack that and it's so many things, but it's devotional service.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Krishna,
okay, now you're on.
Thank you so much for coming and giving such beautiful class. My question is, and part of that question you answered with his question, but like you mentioned that Gopa Kumar wanted to be with Krishna in Goloka. And we always hear that that should be every devotee's goal to go to Goloka. And sometimes I wonder, I mean, of course it depends on one's devotional service and, you know, I wonder, like you mentioned in today's class, that Narada and Uddhava, they also, like, they felt that they are even not qualified to go there.
To go to Goloka, to go to Vrindavan.
To go to Vrindavan.
Yes.
So, you know.
So what to speak of you.
Right. So, sometimes I hear and then I get very discouraged, you
well,
know.
Their learnedness and other forms of opulences is not the qualification. The qualification is this word that their acharyas use, natural. Gopa Kumar is just a little boy. He's not educated. He's not, you know, he's not a scholar. He's not a rishi. He's not a, you know, born, he doesn't have the opulences of piety. He's just a simple boy. But he got mercy. And he has, you know, eagerness. So that's all it takes. That's process it differently. What's the use for me because I'm this? So insignificance, that's good. That's a qualification. Feeling insignificant is good. Qualification-wise. But don't let it be material insignificant. Let it be a spiritual insignificant. And therefore, I need mercy of such residents of Vrindavan. And I was making the comment this morning that by my experience of reading these commentaries of our acharyas again and again and again, every morning, every evening, we're getting that association through them. That's the qualification. Because sangat sanjayate, kama. We develop kama, desire, like those with whom we associate. So we hear from them. That's the mercy that's required to have that qualification. Now, Narada's speaking that way because he's Narada. He has that association also. Uddhava, Krishna sent him to Vrindavan. He spent time with Nanda Jasoda. There's a whole, in Gopal Champu, there's this long, the exchange between them. And then the gopis, the exchange between him and the gopis. He got, all you need is a moment's association. Lava matra.
And we're getting again and again. Do I sound? And it's not different. Physical presence and sound. Sound is the more powerful, more important part than physical proximity. So I sound. So that's our hope. Sound. And they, you know, and they're speaking of, again, they're humble. As, because they're elevated. They're not falsely humble. They're humble. They're spiritually humble. But they're qualified. Uddhava had received the mercy. Narada also. But they're speaking that way. About themselves. So it's not like, what about me? I'm garbage. We're insignificant, but we're not garbage. We're tiny, spiritually. But we, you know, so the hope is the mercy of those who have that qualification. And we're getting it through sound. I'm repeating myself now. So let me cherish and value and hold in the highest esteem the sound vibration, because it can carry one to that place, to that mood. I find, again repeating, but from reading these commentaries again and again, it's really mercy, and you can feel it. I'm getting letters from people that are hearing these classes saying, it's way over my head, but I feel uplifted. Not because I understand it, but just the sound vibration, I feel uplifted. I'm getting up earlier and I'm feeling more energized with my japa and my duties at work and in the home. It's just, things are changing. Just from this, so that's the mercy. That's how we get it. The unqualified can become qualified that way. Go on hearing. With big ears. Regularly. And the sound can pick you up and carry you. That's how it works. Anything? We got a microphone for the online people. I can hear you. You've got a strong voice, but Hare Krishna, I don't think Maharaj. They can hear you.
Thank you for being here, and we're blessed to have you. My question, I usually don't ask questions. They go over my head, a lot of, the things. But the question, Gopa Kumar, you were saying that he declined Swarupa. I did not get that, what that meant.
Okay.
And then I'll have a different question I'll ask after.
Okay. There are, in the category of mukti, there are five types. And one of them is impersonal, merging, called sayujya. And four of them are personal. And one of those four is achieving a form like the Lord. Sa Rupya, mukti. So, when he got to Vaikuntha, the persons who brought him there, they got him in a corner and said, you shouldn't dress like this. You should dress like we dress, and you should have a form like we have. Get with it. That's the style here. Sa Rupya. He said, no, I like this form. I like my attire. So they left him alone. But that's one of the kinds of liberation, sarupya. And then later they offered him opulences like Narayan and like themselves. He said, no. That's opulence, that's another kind of liberation. One who has opulences like the Lord. It's such a feature of the residents of Vaikuntha. It's a personal liberation or mukti. No. And then the next verse says,
But suddenly my whole body became transformed into Satchitananda form. So it was no longer a material body, but now it's a spiritual body looking like the same thing he looked like. Cowherd boy with the same attire and same this and that. Okay?
The second question is, it probably is more for like a time management. How to manage the time, getting up early,
great.
And I like to open the temple, for the last few years. I do that service to our Thakurji in the morning, but there's no set time. Sometimes it's an 8 o'clock, sometimes an 8:30, it's just struggling with that all the time.
And so?
So how do I,
get over
the
struggle
for myself,
Well, that you're doing it itself is fantastic. So congratulations, because there are lots of people that don't do that at any time. So, a time management question indeed, recommended is for householders. Household duties may make one's life this time, this day, that day, a little different from one another. But it's best to have a baseline that's, when there isn't something disturbing it, it's more or less, or even it's precisely at such and such time. Specific with deities. And one of the benefits is it makes one's life more regulated. And when one's life becomes more regulated, one's life moves towards the quality of goodness, because that's a feature of goodness. Just like being clean, it's a quality of goodness. Or being truthful, it's a quality of goodness. Keeping your word is a quality of goodness. So it's good to be in the mode of goodness. So things that can help, doable steps that are direction of the mode of goodness, that's a time management thing. But it's also character building and mode of nature influencing choice. So ideal, not like you get an F on your exam if you don't do this, but it's ideal that there's a specific time. And, for this is home worship. It's not the same as in the temple. It's more, there's more flexibility in the home, but it's around the same time than the certain things that one does in relation to the worship of the deity. And there's a certain, these are our home standards. And we do them every day. Even when we're in a hurry, we do them every day because it's deity worship. It's every day.
Maharaj, you had mentioned in one of these, I don't remember exactly which day, but you mentioned that Krishna never leaves Braja.
Yeah.
And so when he went to Dwarka, this is when he was doing the pastimes on this earth, right?
Mm.
So that's when he never leaves Braja?
No.
No.
It goes like this. When he appeared as the, I'm going to give you a little more detail than you maybe thought you were going to get. But the bottom line is he never leaves Braja. So when he left, sorry, on the easier end, when he left Braja, it was Akura took him. But when Akura was riding in his chariot towards Mathura, he requested Krishna and Balaram's permission to take his bath in the river Jamuna before going to Mathura. So they consented. He got down. And when he went into take his bath, he saw Krishna and Balaram. He was perplexed, and he went back with there on the chariot. So then he went back, and he saw the spiritual world. And, you know, you remember that pastime, right? And then he went back, and Krishna said, is everything all right? And he said, you know, everything's all right. I couldn't be happier having you as my Lord and Master. And then Krishna and Balarama did it. Take their bath in the river Jamuna. So his taking bath, the Acharya's comment, his taking bath in the river Jamuna indicate he stayed in Braja. And it's Vasudev Krishna that got on the chariot and went to Mathura. So how did he stay in Vrindavan? He entered into the hearts of the devotees. And then his appearance is a little more complicated. I mean, it's transcendental. Staying in the heart is also transcendental, but he's eternally in Vrindavan. And not only Vasudev Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, but Mother Jasoda gave birth to twins. A not well-known fact, but there's scriptural references, and if you remind me, I'll send you the document that explains it. Mother Jasoda gave birth to twins. And when Vasudev came and brought Vasudev Krishna, four-armed Vasudev Krishna, although he has a two-armed form at that time, Vasudev Krishna, that Vasudev Krishna merged into the body of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who was left by the side of Mother Yashoda, and then he took the female child. So how did Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, become the child of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? Well, he can appear however. He doesn't need anything. He can appear out of poof. He just appears. So he appeared because he's always in Vraja, but he appeared as the son of Yashoda and Nanda. Now, it's often said the foster child, meaning he was the child of Vasudeva and Devaki, but he was the child of both. I'll send you the commentary. Just remind me. I'll send you the scriptural commentary. That's the verses and the explanation of the verses. So he's always, before his birth as the son of Yashoda and Devaki, and Yashoda and Nanda, he's always in Vrindavan. His lila becomes aprakat, unmanifest, but they're always there. And his lila is sometimes prakat, and then it's aprakat, not manifest, it's withdrawn for vision of worldly people. But qualified people can see. We're not those qualified people yet, but you know, there are qualified people that can see. After Krishna, so here's a nice example. I like. Have you been to Vrindavan? Have you been to Radhakund? And when you've gone to Radhakund, did you go to the Gopinath temple? You're not sure, but you think so. Over one side is the Samadhi of Raghunath Das, and then over on the other side there's a little place where you can walk out on a little patio, and there is the place where Janava sat and chanted. Janava Ma says over the shrine there. So Janava, the wife of Lord Nityananda, after his departure, she remained, and she went to Vrindavan because she had never been able to go to Vrindavan. She saw Gopinath and said there should be a temple for Gopinath right here, so they built a temple for Gopinath. And then she sat in that little outer area, and she would just chant the holy name. And one time when she came back, she described, and maybe you've seen in paintings, but she described, she saw a bridge
going over, spanning over Radha Kund. I'd have never seen a bridge. And she saw Radha and Krishna having pastimes with other gopis on that bridge. She was seeing their eternal pastimes that you and I can't see, but people that have the spiritual capacity can see, because they're eternally going on. That's after his departure and before his appearance. It's an eternal place. But it's not the physical place. It's the spiritual place. You know, this physical place is dirty. And the spiritual place isn't. It's a spiritual place. And the spiritual pastimes are going on there with the opulence that's described. The peacocks and the trees and the this and the that and the everything. The cuckoos and the splendor of Braj. He's always in Braj. And when this place is destroyed, that parsonage is destroyed, and he's always there. Do you have online? I'm sure.
This is from Sri Jiva. Gopakumar was in Vaikuntha. How can someone miss anything in Vaikuntha?
How can anyone miss?
Anything in Vaikuntha.
Well, it depends what he means, miss. He was satisfied, but not satisfied. I think that's, he was missing the satisfaction of seeing and taking personally, participating in the pastimes of Gopal. He was seeing Narayan seated on the throne as Gopal, but not the pastimes with all the associates of Braja. So that's what he was not seeing and not experiencing.
And this is from Gopinath. Why is Gayatri Mantra confidential?
Leave it to children. Why is it confidential? Well, you know, a simple answer, it's confidential because the Lord says it's confidential. But why does the Lord say it's confidential? Unqualified people may take something that's confidential and misuse it. And therefore, its confidentiality is for qualified people. And then one can make oneself qualified to receive it because it's a very powerful mantra. And if one isn't qualified, then one can't achieve its benefit. And one can even misuse whatever benefit can be derived from it. So it's confidential.
And this is from Atulya Mataji. The example of Gopakumar is very high for his age. His journey and experience is very astounding. How can I make his example relatable for my kids in this world, which is filled with competition and pulling other child down? For example, what to learn about how Gopakumar dealt with his peers?
He's a hero. He's a superstar. I mean, how do you take what Prahlad Maharaj did, or how do you take what Dhruva Maharaj did, or how do you take what other youngsters did? And Gopakumar's, you know, in yet another category. It's just, you know, it's a hero. And we can't imitate heroes. We don't put on a Superman cape and go flying through the sky and jump out the window or something. Kids know what heroes are. They don't imitate them. So he's teaching us by his example, gradually becoming more and more and more and more attracted to the spiritual world, and then specifically to the personality of Godhead. He's showing us by example. He's a hero, a role model. And that's what he's doing with this elder Brahmin. He's just using his example to teach the elder Brahmin something.
This is from Amrita Keli Mataji. When you were talking about Shabda Praman, you mentioned about the material Shabda Praman from United Airlines regarding their safety measures, etc. Surprisingly and unfortunately, I realized that I have strong faith on that kind of Shabda Praman, though it is also not verifiable. On the other hand, for the spiritual Shabda Praman, the mind raises n number of questions and doubts. So the questions that she has about this is, one, why is this so? And the second question is it sufficient to continue hearing the spiritual sound vibration with faith?
Yes.
To come out of this?
Yes. I mean, we apply our intelligence along with the faith, but back to the first one, we're conditioned souls, and that conditioning is strongly reinforced by the education process that we have experienced in this lifetime and probably many lifetimes. That is, we rely on our senses. And then we rely on our mind to make sense or organize in some kind of pattern, the sensory data. It's like for example, I didn't even know what cricket was until I went to India. I didn't even know that such a sport existed. And when I see cricket and see people going nuts over cricket games, to me, it's totally unrelatable because I don't even know what the rules are. It's like I just, even just trying to figure out what the rules are by watching the game, I can't figure out what the rules are. So it's just like it doesn't make any sense. So we make sense of things that we're familiar with, and things we're unfamiliar with. Our mind can't process it. There's no pattern that it fits. So transcendence doesn't fit the mind. So, it's not, you get an F in your exam because, you're a conditioned soul. Which, meaning we have faith in our mind and senses. Sense perception and mental speculation, that's what we have faith in. And we have lots of reinforcement and lots of recognition for however good we are at it. We get rewards and appreciation and this and that. And it's illusion. It's illusory. So what to do about that? Well, to some degree, there's faith. Otherwise, you wouldn't be practicing bhakti as you have been doing for some time. So you just continue with faith and prayer and continue to try to understand. That's an instruction Prabhupada gave again and again. Now, you won't be able to understand by speculative powers. You can be able to understand by some other method. But try to understand. And if you don't understand, then keep hearing and continue to try to understand. Purification will take place, and then, that's what that means. And then you keep going, it wasn't exactly what that means, but now it was. So the understanding becomes refined and clearer over time. That's purification, how it works.
And this question is from Visalaksha Prabhu. Gopakumar is the Vrajavasi. Still, why does he need to travel to Vaikuntha Dham, to Ayodhya, and finally to Vrindavan? Are there any lessons to learn from this gradual travel?
Yes. And he's a mixed becoming unmixed. And so the mixed goes from one thing to the next thing to the next thing and finds it doesn't work, that's not satisfying, that's not satisfying, that's not satisfying, that's not satisfying. That's what mixed devotees do. At least if they're honest. It's not satisfying. So he's looking for satisfaction, and because he's had not only because he was born in Vrindavan, but he has a certain inclination which was also instilled in him by his spiritual master. Finally, he comes to find out his name, Jayanta, because it was disclosed to him. But that's the lesson we have to learn. Looking for happiness in something other, in the temporary realm, that's not going to be satisfying. And then out beyond the temporal realm, there's other realms, and they're not fully satisfying either. I mean, specifically the Brahmajyoti part, and then Shivaloka, and so forth. So they're not fully satisfying. Then it becomes this more subtle, which is the mood of service and love in Vaikuntha, then in Ayodhya, then in Dwaraka, and then in Vrindavan. So they're also perfect, but there's more perfect, most perfect. That's the lesson to be learned by Gopakumar's going from one place to the... He was just taken to Vaikuntha. He didn't like spin the dial and say, I want to go to Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha Vasis came, he was in Vrindavan, and they came to him, and they took him. It's not like he was kidnapped, but they took him, and he, you know, was a willing passenger.
This is Thira Mataji. I have heard Gopakumar visiting Tapaloka, Maharloka, etc. Is Gopakumar's journey to Vaikuntha a continuation of that?
Yes.
This is a question from Radha. What are the reasons that make Gopakumar not happy in Ayodhya and only happy in Goloka?
Sweetness.
This is from Pratibahu Prabhu. Usually this question comes up. Can I change my swarupa after I go back to spiritual world?
Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked that question of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's answer was very short, like this one I just gave to Radha. He said, the spiritual world is not static, it's dynamic. He didn't elaborate. He said, yes, the spiritual world is not static, it's dynamic. However, we heard, and it's true, that whatever one's particular position, rasa, etc., that's natural for one, one is feeling fully satisfied. One is not looking on the other side of the fence and saying, whoa, maybe the grass is greener over there. One's satisfied. Like, you know, ask Hanuman, you want to go join the rasa dance? Ram, Ram. he's fixed.
Yeah, so Pratibahu Prabhu kind of continued with that and asked, based on today's lecture, would the answer be that it might be possible in special cases?
Yes, yes. That's it. You sometimes have something. Anything?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sometime back I heard, if I don't remember properly, the different avatars of the Lord, which appear here, they will have counter parts in the spiritual world, like different planets. So if, like Matsya Avatara, so specifically, does Matsya Avatara has a specific Vaikuntha planet, where devotees worship?
Just language, before I directly respond to your question, the word counterpart can mean different things. So perhaps a better word is the form of Lord Nrisimhadev in the spiritual world, did he just manifest that form here? Is the form of Matsya in the spiritual world, or just manifested that form here? So it's not exactly counterpart. It's, you know, they're the same. So it's just language. But the answer is yes. And what we're hearing from this section we just read, the forms of the devotees and the forms of the Lord, they appear to the devotee according to the worship, how the devotee worshipped the Lord. So King Satyavrata, that's how he's going to see the Lord of Vaikuntha. But it's not static. It's dynamic. Someone else may see, according to their mood of love and worship. And it's the same Lord. That's mystical, but that's the authority presentation that we're hearing. Like within our, you know, more common experiences, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, what did he see? Krishna holding a flute. That's not what we see. Yes.
This is Rukmavati Mataji. The question is, how to align the mind, senses, and intelligence?
Paramarupa is making a whole presentation for college kids exactly on that topic. So contact Paramarupa. And as he comes out with one section and then the next section, it's exactly on the topic. We have to have the right conception. You know, let's say it negatively. We have misconceptions, and it takes a while to clear out the misconception and replace the misconception with proper conception. And on this alignment topic, we have... What do we understand about anything? What do we understand about what the mind is? You know, the Western philosophers are still, they still haven't settled whether there is a mind or not. Descartes posited, and then, you know, because there wasn't a follow-up, well, where is the mind? You know, so what's the mind, what's the space in which the mind is situated? Because it's subtle, it's not in the physical space. So what's the space in which the mind is situated? Well, he tried to posit it was somewhere near the pineal gland. He put it in physical space, but it's not physical. So it just kind of got dropped. So then, you know, then the mind-body problem, and it's still going on, the mind-body problem. Because there's gross and there's subtle. So It's because there's a misconception of what the mind is. So alignment has to have, you have to have proper definitions of things. That's where Sankhya comes in. So understanding Sankhya isn't a snap of the fingers. I mean, it's written in the text, but how do all the puzzle pieces fit together? What is the mind? And how does it work in connection with the senses and with sense objects and with prakriti and the modes of nature? And, you know, so it's, alignment requires a clear conception, clear Sankhya conception. And to keep it simple, I'm sure Paramarupa is going to not make it too overly complicated, because it's for, you know, college kids. It'll have some dimension and depth to it, but it's not going to be super technical. So hear from him as he comes out with these things, because it's little video presentations to it. Like, visuals will help. Okay? Krishna, Krishna. Prabhupada ki.